Let's talk about one of the biggest developments, Lincoln Yards. You've seen the billboards off to Kennedy. It's the space along the northern branch of the Chicago River, mostly where the Finkel Steel Plant once stood. The plan by Sterling Bay and the city of Chicago is to create a vast new development that would include thousands of condos spread out between high-rises, park space, music clubs, even at one time a soccer stadium has been floated. It's one of, if not the biggest developments in Chicago history. And it's also one of the most contentious. Why? Because a massive project is sandwiched between two communities, Lincoln Park and Bucktown. And residents there are worried about the size, the scope, the traffic implications, and the impact on local art. But why should I tell you that when my next guests are living it? Katie Tutton is the co-owner of The Hideout and also the co-chair of the group Civil. That's the Chicago Independent Venue League. The other co-chair is Robert Gomez, known to the music community just as Gomez, as he owns Subterranean and Beat Kitchen. And my third guest is Hu Wen, one of the leaders of the group Raise Your Hand Action. I took a trip to The Hideout to talk with the three community activists. The Hideout on Wabanzia is in the shadows of Lincoln Yards. How do you feel about Lincoln Yards?
That's a loaded question to start right off, Justin. It's unfortunate that they really didn't come and speak to us, the community, and certainly their neighbors. I mean, we are right smack dab in the middle of it. And they only came to speak with us once, and we're a public space. At any time, they could have walked through the door and asked to have a meeting with us. Often, Tim and I are here, my partners Mike and Jim, but instead waited kind of to the ninth hour to come speak with us. So my opinion of them is not very high at all. And witnessing what happened when we would go to city council meetings and committee meetings, it was a tell that their folks spoke first, our people had to wait, and we were, I felt, muzzled.
Gomez, let me bring you in, because they will say, and I've seen the city planners talk about this, the aldermen and other places, they say this is the most public, transparent situation in the history of Chicago, that they have made their efforts to reach out. Do you think, see it that way?
They've put on a good show. I'll give them that. They've had some public meetings, but they think it feels like all of this was predetermined. How many condos, the music district, which they originally called Entertainment District, and now they're calling it Character Zone. It's semantics. It's a game. It feels like they're just playing a game.
And who I want to bring you in, because when you think about the Chicago River and the North Branch, it is a lot of leftover industrial. It seems like it would be in need of some sort of development. So why not Lincoln Yards?
The bigger question is, can it happen without the TIFs, right? And so for us with Raise Your Hand Action, our big issue is using public tax dollars to do so. Designating this as a district would really freeze all those tax dollars that would go back to Chicago Public Schools, go back to the parking, you know, the parks and all the other taxing bodies. So this is really fundamentally the issue of why use public tax dollars when we know that area is not a blighted area in that sense, right, in the surrounding, and that private development would happen.
And most developments, I believe there's one recently, I think it's to the west of Soldiers Field, where the developer said, we're going to develop this and not ask for any TIF money. So the thing is, they can do this without the TIF dollars. Absolutely. You know, this is all about greed, really. Why do we have to pay for it?
I saw that the piece in the New York Times talking about Hudson Yards, which is a piece in New York. Why is it, and I ask you guys, as you pay attention to this stuff, that was substantial investment, taxpayer money, something like $6 billion of taxpayer money in New York City, but you don't have a lot of people out front with protesting or saying that this is a misuse of funds. Why so much fervor over this project in Chicago when there are projects like it that have even more money in other cities that seem to be okay with taxpayers?
Well, I think one of the big issues is that we're putting this in between Bucktown and Lakeview. It's not lakefront. It's not as the other Hudson Yards is right next to the water. You're talking about 60-story buildings, 15 buildings over 50 stories in between Lakeview and Lincoln Park and Bucktown, Wicker Park and Andersonville. I mean, this is another, they talk about it being a city within a city. This is a giant suburb. This is like downtown Detroit. I mean, I've been jokingly calling it Schaumburg Yards, and it's gotten some traction, but what can it possibly look like? It won't be historic looking. They're calling it a bridge between neighborhoods, and it's a giant wall between neighborhoods.
What's to say that this isn't positive change for a city of Chicago that is looking to grow its tax base, is looking to develop on land that has been industrial or forgotten about along the Chicago River? What's wrong with that?
Well, it's being designed by a very small group of people. And my question is, if it can stand on its own merit, why can't it wait? You know, because there are so many unanswered questions. So my big thing is, what's the big secret? Why is it you can't tell us?
I would add that the project itself is tainted. I mean, since the beginning, when you think about who was the lawyer for Sterling Bay the last 10 years, it was Ed Burke. And that sort of ties in, you know, going back to your question earlier about why do you think in Chicago people are up in arms versus in New York City and the Hudson Bay? And I really would say that, you know, the residents have woken up. I mean, you can look in this election alone and see that we're ready for a reform. We're ready for a different city council. Yep. And we're ready for clean and transparent governance in the city, which we've not had. And when you think about the schools and the closures in 2011, 2012, that already, right, really significantly, I think, played a role in the sort of political education that parents and the youth who are leading part of, you know, the more recent connections to this sort of tainted scandal, when you think about Ed Burke, is the sale of the land, part of the parcels of this Lincoln Yard, part of that money was used to then buy and purchase the land where the Cop Academy is going to be built. So you see that there are these just wheeling and dealings that are happening in City Hall that we know that are very corrupt, and the city and the residents are really just fed up with it.
What are the numbers that justify the tax base? What if we're really dealing with displacement? Think of the condos, 6,000 condos. Where are those people going to come from? Cincinnati? They're going to come from other condo owners or people who already live in Chicago. And more importantly, what got our attention is you're talking about 10,000 people going to see concerts for shows. Where are those 10,000 going to come from? Detroit? I mean, they're going to come from Chicago. That means 10,000 people who aren't going into Wicker Park or to Hideout or Rogers Park. We're actually fighting more on behalf of neighborhoods that are further away. That's Avondale, there are two brand new venues in Avondale. Uptown, where there's been significant investment there. People won't be going there. They'll be going to Lincoln Yards, and they'll be moving away from other neighborhoods into Lincoln Yards. What if it's just displacement? Where's the data to support that?
And we're a city of neighborhoods. That's what makes our neighborhood great, city great. In our neighborhood, great.
There is a lot of politics involved, and I think it really well said about the idea of the difference between New York and Chicago is that you get the feel with Chicago that there's just a few people that are trying to make this happen as fast as possible.
Basically, we're saying that in the city of Chicago, we have very brilliant people. Collectively, we should all come together and come up with this is one of the largest land deals, I think, since the Chicago fire. So bring us all together. Bring the urban planners. Bring people with big ideas. And we collectively can do it rather than a couple of developers whose main motivation is profit.
The whole show tonight is about transformation, and it's very specific and almost too easy to say, oh, well, we'll talk about Lincoln Yards and how that's going to transform the north branch of the river. But we're talking about so much more, especially when it comes to Chicago politics, when it comes to how we make these decisions, when we take the biggest, in, like you said, land purchase in recent history in Chicago. There's a lot that goes into what it means to transform.
Well, and I would add, too, that I think this, you know, this term of transformation is sort of a one of these buzzwords, right? And it's certainly in the political arena. And I feel like this is way more transactional, right? When you look at the pay-to-play, it's not about transforming a city and really spreading redistributing the resources, right? Which are what TIFs were designed for. It certainly is a project that's like really rooted in inequities. And we're going to see, and if we're really going to be honest about transforming, you're going to transform even deeper between those who have and have-nots. And so for us, you know, as community organizers, as business leaders, we are really wanting to transform, truly, authentically transform the city where we are bridging communities and not building more silos.
That's Hu Wen, who she is one of the leaders of the group Raise Your Hand Action. You also heard from Katie Tutton, who's one of the co-owners of The Hideout and a co-chair of the group Civil, along with Robert Gomez, who also owns Subterranean and Bee Kitchen. We reached out to Sterling Bay, and they promised that they would grant an interview, but not at this time. When we come back, architecture critic and longtime WGN contributor Lee Bay will join us to talk about what we should be looking for in a city when it comes to a year from now, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. We'll continue the conversation about development, the buzzword that's taken over the election on Extension 720. Stay with us.